Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron along with Jenny Hubby.
Hi, everybody.
Well, it's a beautiful day in Texas, right? High of 101 down to 80 something tonight, so it sounds like we'll get back to California here and enjoy some more modest weather.
It's all about mindset. We'll just think of us being in sunny California with Justin,
our special guest. Folks, we got a great guest with us today, Justin Nimmergood, who is out in I think the Orange County area. And he is somebody that I've known for quite a while. Again, another situation where I got to meet this young man, we would just say, coming out of his college years and have had an opportunity to follow him, at least, you know, drive down for lunch every, back in 2016 and I got his book, and it's just a really fun good visionary book. And also, and he's going to talk about, now you talked about a lot of things we could challenge today. I'm looking at your big fat ass anchor here, but the millennial challenge sounds like something we want to get to, and we'll have to bring you back on subsequent shows for income disparity and then life hacks. But I definitely, you know,
yes,
you are one of the millennials gone good. So congratulations for that imaginary award from the Concierge Coaches Show. So, yeah, brother.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, you too. It's a pleasure to be on here today, and I appreciate the kind words, the millennial gone good. I guess, you know, it's only fitting if you have a last name like Nimmergood, you better be good at something. So, you know.
I love it.
It is a forced play, so you are fulfilling that prophecy for sure.
That's right. Yeah. Discussion here.
Well, tell us a little bit about, I guess, you know, not everybody comes into the coaching space necessarily young. You know, a lot of people have had other careers and had a somewhat of a full life of different types of things, and then kind of later on decide to bring in their blends and talents into the coaching sphere. You pretty much did that early on in your work. So kind of talk about your experiences that kind of led you into coaching and kind of get us to the point where you are now with your coaching practice. So, yeah.
Sure. So, you know, let me give you a little bit about the narrative, I would say, and kind of my journey, my hero's journey, for lack of a better term. And hopefully that'll give, you know, also the listeners out there a bit of backdrop, right? Because I'll tell you, you know, for the both of you, and we talked about this a little bit the other day, Bruce, the coaching industry it's a fresh industry still by and large, right? It's something that if you look back probably 30 years when it just started to emerge, the term coach still even today gets confused with, okay, are you a sports coach? Are you coaching a team? And I really have to thank some of my mentors over the years that, were also sports coaches, that helped develop this industry, you know, really from the inside out. You know, my journey dates back to, you know, childhood, right? Like many, many others in this industry, where I always found myself gravitating toward helping people. And as cliche and stupid as that sounds, I think there's certain individuals that have a capacity for leadership, for really inspiring change within others, I would say, right? And I can remember, you know, just a quick story, right? When I was, I was probably 13 years old, and I had the opportunity to coach a youth basketball team, right? And it was kind of at that moment that I realized not only, obviously, my affinity for sports, right, but just genuine interest in helping people on that level. You know, fast forward several years, right? I got into it from a professional perspective. I would say officially back in 2013, I had, you know, I was searching for something, right? I knew I had a lot of career success, you know, in a very limited amount of time. I was wildly successful in my professional endeavors. At the time, I was at Cisco Systems, working my way up through the ranks. But I had hit a glass ceiling as such. And I think this is a common thing that we're seeing with millennials a lot today. And not only millennials, but pretty much any generational cohort, right? And I had hit this glass ceiling, and I was pondering the big question of, what is my life purpose? Like, am I really here on this planet to work a 9-to-5 day in and day out for the rest of my life? Or is there something else out there that I haven't even explored yet that would better be suited for me? So, you know, in doing my self-discovery and research, I came across a lot of our famous personal development, I would say leaders, right? Our mentors, our true Jedis, if you will, you know, like the Tony Robbins, right. The Robert Kiyosaki's and such. Yeah. And I had the opportunity and pleasure of attending a Tony Robbins event. It was the first one I went to was Date with Destiny. This was back in 2013, December of 2013. And it was a 6-day event. For those of you that don't know, it was a 6-day intensive event, 12 to 16 hour days, 6 days straight, where you just go deep. I mean, you get into the fucking depths of everything that you can imagine, from childhood trauma to business struggles and everything in between. And it was at that point in time I said, I know I'm meant to do something different. Like, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not meant to be in corporate or maybe am, but that this particular role, what I'm doing in my life and just how I'm doing it, it needs to change. I came back from that event with a massive action game plan, and I put it in action, right? So I think within 4 months thereafter, 3 months, 4 months thereafter, I had officially, you know, resigned from my position at Cisco. I began writing my personal business memoir, Entrepreneurship, Changing Business Culture from the Inside Out. And I really started on this track of coaching, right? Which is all about connecting with people and helping them through similar life journeys. So I've been doing that obviously ever since, you know, almost 5 years now. And it's been just a fun ride. You know, fun ride, and one that I wouldn't, you know, have changed for anything. So yeah, that's my background on everything.
Talk a little bit about entrepreneurship and talk about that book and what your vision is with that and what that brings to the space.
Sure. You know, entrepreneurship was really a book born from obviously my personal life experiences. You know, if you read it, there's a lot of personal stories in there, which I won't get on here today. We don't have time for them. But it's a story and also a trend born out of necessity. There's this growing class of millennials, myself included, that have worked or are currently working within a corporate environment. But unlike prior generations, they're faced with all these challenges and desires. And I mean, a lot of it's mainstream driven. Some of it's not, right? Of entrepreneurial desires. And so being an entrepreneur, as I've found, is basically being an entrepreneur within the corporate construct. And I found myself doing this virtually every company that I ever, you know, was a part of, I found myself gravitating to entrepreneurial activities within the corporate construct. And here's the thing about that. It's extremely valuable. If you look at companies like Google, like Facebook, like Amazon, Zappos, right? These companies, Starbucks, you know, is another one. They were founded, right, in America, by and large, founded, you know, by pioneers, right, that were willing to do things different. We say outside of the box. I personally don't believe in anything that there is a box, but doing things different. And they would call these things like Skunkworks projects, for example, I know, which is what they call it at Google, where they're giving employees this dedicated time now to pursue interests and passions outside of their traditional day-to-day role. So this trend, right, this idea of entrepreneurship, it was really just a thought. It was a thought when I kind of began crafting this book. Even to this day, if you type it in on your your word processor, for example, it'll come up with squiggly lines, and it'll tell you to correct it to entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
So that just gives you an appreciation for kind of how new and fresh this concept is, but it's one that is absolutely catching on like a wildfire, not only as entrepreneurs, but within the corporate context. You know, CEOs and executives are recognizing that in order to stay with times, in order to continue to deliver immense value to their clients, and in some cases, appease shareholders, they have to be innovative. And the entrepreneurs are oftentimes the absolute center, the focal center of that innovation chamber.
I love this concept, Justin. I just looked it up, the entrepreneurship, and I can just see where it's so valuable for corporations to inspire their people to be innovative and creative and come up with new ideas.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, it's, again, like I said, it's how America, we were formed, you know, as a country, you know, by and large on pioneers, right, with new ideas. And I think this just speaks to the millennial generation, getting back to that for a moment. You know, the millennials, by and large, they're, you know, it's funny because the baby boomers look at millennials and they say they have poor work ethic. And I take offense to that, obviously, partially because I'm biased and I am a millennial, but also because I think we're misunderstood. We're a generation that's misunderstood. Let me put it in perspective. We're the first generation ever in the history of time where our income has failed to outpace the income, obviously with inflation and other elements, you know, included, of the prior generation. That is astonishing when you just think about that. So what does that mean? That means that it's more costly to buy a home. It's more costly to start a family. And millennials are stuck scratching their head trying to figure out how to live with less. So this is just one way that fosters our natural abilities in a way. It keeps us valuable within society. And keeps, you know, uplifting and inspiring people all around us.
Interesting point. So trying to do more with less in your generation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And taking some of the, you know, innate qualities that you see with the millennials, like, you know, I know we often get tied to social media gurus, right, and things of that nature, which is true for some. And heck, I've seen baby boomers that are absolute social media ninjas, right? Yeah. But taking some of those stereotypes and leveraging them as skill sets within society and within these corporate constructs. So, like I said, it was just kind of, it was born out of, you know, initially I wrote the book as a way to kind of move forward from, you know, moving on, actually. Is how it all started. But then I realized as I started to share this idea with people around me that, hell, this wasn't just an idea. This wasn't just a personal memoir, you know, of such. This is actually a viable business need in the marketplace.
Wow. Yeah, so it sounds like it had some very personal overtones. It was almost therapeutic. Like you said, it sounds like you're saying you were in transition at the time that you were really – that you're, you know, composing it. And so, yeah, it just makes it not only that very timely and but also makes it a very multifaceted offering, you know, knowing that, you know what I mean? Now I can kind of look, I have the book here and I can look at it in a fresh new way now that I know some of the context behind it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. And you know, the response I've received, especially, you know, and I know you mentioned the, you know, the Concordia event, right? You know, I've had the opportunity to speak in front of some really interesting groups of people. has been phenomenal. I think the reception is growing, right? People and leaders, you know, of all different industries, by the way, are starting to pick up on this trend, and it's becoming more than a trend. It's becoming a business imperative, I would call it, right? So now we're seeing corporations that might have had a couple quasi-entrepreneurs by de facto that are now saying, hey, you know what? We need to actually instill this culturally. This needs to be instilled culturally within our organization, because we need this imperative in order to not only survive, but to thrive. And we want to be at the forefront of our industry. Well, and this is one major way that they can do so.
I know we didn't talk about this, Justin, but since you're certainly chronologically closer than I, of course, I have two children that are in this Generation Z zone, and I know some people are saying it's too early to tell, but from what you're seeing, what are some of the, you know, in your opinion, what are some of the differentiation markers between, let's say, a 19, 20-year-old today versus somebody like yourself who is, although you're not too far removed from that age range, you know what I mean, that's in this new genre. What have you noticed any trends or societal or work ethic or work type of trends with these folks, or is it too early to say?
I think it's funny you bring that up, because I just look at the difference between myself and my brother, for example, who is also part of the younger brother, who's also part of that Generation Z cohort, right? It's just ever apparent that it doesn't matter what generation you're a part of, there are some identifiable, you like the word pivot, you know, pivots or changes that happen as you cross over to these different chasms. You know, for example, I think what you're going to see, right, and what I'm already seeing is just the absolute explosion within the AI, you know, artificial intelligence and robotics, and need for those skill sets. And obviously what that's doing for the, you know, the human and the labor workforce is going to be ever apparent. And so, you know, while millennials, we somewhat grew up with like the game consoles and whatnot. The game consoles, but you know, just the computerized and intelligent systems of business are going to be driving business of tomorrow. And Generation Z is at the forefront of that. Heck, you know, I love this story. My brother, when he was, I think he was probably 11 years old, was recruited by a major gaming company to pilot a new development.
Are you still there, brother?
Uh-oh, did we lose him?
Yes, we lost him. He was on
It was a good story.
I know. Sounds like his little brother. Hopefully, Ronan will be able to see him coming back through.
Yeah, him back, yeah.
Who was being piloted, I guess, by a gaming company.
So, it made me think of the movie Big.
Yeah, I think where he's headed, because... And you may have a child in this category. I know I have two children in this category that they're very, very strong in technology, very technology mediated, and even more so. I think he's back.
Ah, good.
Are you back, Justin?
Can you? I'm back. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, yes.
You're
100. So your brother was
wonderful.
Approached by gaming. Your brother was approached by a gaming company, and what happened?
Yeah, he was approached by a major gaming company, actually out here on the West Coast. And, you know, he was about 11 years old at the time. And this just really speaks to, again, the generational gaps and the chasms that are out there. And they said, hey, we want you to be part of our beta group to develop this game, understand the back end, and really be at the forefront of this game development that was going to be launching on the market six to 9 months later. So they're now, you're seeing this in AI, robotics, the gaming community. They're now, you know, recruiting, you know, already the next generation. So what does that mean? That means that to your question, right, about how do you see the difference of society today? You know, it's really a big gap as far as how we approach the workflows, for example. what was a workflow of yesterday may have been, you know, a lot. Well, for example, baby boomers, let's start with them. You know, they were really obviously labor intensive, all the way down to millennials, where there's a little bit of AI involvement. And now Generation Z, where it's pretty much AI led. So I think you're seeing this major transition that's going to continue to evolve the workforce and also the skill sets that are needed.
Okay, sounds good. Jenny, I don't know if I cut you off, but after Jenny has her question, talk a little bit about the millennial challenge, what you mean by that and how that applies to coaching.
Yeah, go ahead. I want to hear this, and my questions can wait.
So the millennial challenge, it piggybacks on this concept and really ties in nicely around, for example, that income, you know, gap that I was speaking of earlier, right? So the millennial challenge of today is that, you know, whereas the, you know, you had the former lost generation, there's these cyclical turnings that are happening. We have what historians would say is a we uprising, meaning everything's about we, but yet you have the millennials that are fighting this constant pressure and battle, I would say, by and large in the workforce, with the baby boomers over this transference of wealth. And I talk about this a lot in my book. And the backdrop for that, by the way, is another great book called Pendulum by Roy Williams and Michael Drews. You know, also, I know them personally. They're from the Austin area there. So great gentlemen. And they talk about a lot of the historical, you know, turnings, if you will. Well, as millennials, for the first time ever, we're in this we cycle upswing, but we're fighting this income gap that's overwhelming, you know, where the cost of the dollar, for example, and inflation related to it is outpacing our income threshold. That's why you're seeing the millennials, more than any other generational cohort, living at home later, right? Sometimes often into their mid, late 20s, sometimes even into their 30s. Heck, I just talked to a friend of mine who's moving back. He's a mid-30-year-old who's moving back in with his parents, and he lives out here in California. Great guy, very successful, but because of the cost of living of this state, that's part of it, but also, you know, just in general, the cost of living and keeping at pace with inflation is having to move back in with his parents in order to put himself in position to buy a home one day. That is just something that you did not see with prior generations, who were often buying their homes, starting their families in their 20s and maybe early 30s. You're seeing millennials, myself included, waiting to buy their first home, waiting to start a family, because we're just trying to stay on the forefront of society right now. So this is causing a major uprising, I think, you know, of millennials who are saying, the heck with this, right? And that's why a lot of these entrepreneurs and also entrepreneurial ventures, for that matter, are being born out of necessity. It's out of survival, to be completely candid.
I can see that because I have three daughters that are millennials. And I remember when they were in high school, all three of them said, I am never working in a cubicle. I am not going to do that, because they saw us working in cubicles at some point in our career. And, you know, the thing is, if they did everything that we did when we started out in our career, they would not get the same thing that we got. They might get some of the same things eventually, because I do believe that, you know, hard work and along with opportunity brings, along with, you know, yeah, timing and opportunity really does bring some good fortune. But at the same time, their results aren't going to be the same because the world is different today. And so they're asking themselves, they're saying, well, I can't, I mean, I, how do I, like you said, how do I buy a house? How do I find a place to live that's affordable? How do I have a quality of life? And so I don't want to do it like that. I want something different. And it's like they're questioning everything, which I see the positive to that, because they want some impact and meaning in their life. And I think that's a huge positive. That's what I see with our girls and people that I work with.
Yeah, I think you brought up some more very, very important secondary notions with the millennial generation, which is impact and meaning, purpose.
Yeah.
I really myself obviously included, and I see this with all the millennials that I talk to, we are constantly striving for purpose and meaning. You know, this whole notion of mission, for example, this is born by a lot of millennials. You know, we really helped pioneer, spearhead, you know, this change you're seeing within a lot of corporations toward corporate social responsibility, which is a big topic that I work with a lot of clients on, environmental social responsibility, so CSR, ESR, and things of that nature that are just candidly topics that you didn't really hear about. You know, you heard about profit, but you might not hear about the people and the culture behind the profit. And that's now been brought to the forefront. You know, and thanks to other leaders in the industry too, you know, like you have your Simon Sinek's that have brought like the core of the why, you know, to the forefront. So,
yeah,
I think that's becoming apparent.
So like when we were, you know, when I grew up in my young adult years in corporate America, you know, we were taught just go to a meeting, be quiet, don't ask a lot of questions, and then do what they tell you to do. I mean, nobody said that out loud, but that was kind of the message that we got. So what you're talking about, you mentioned it as a pivot. Would you say it's also a paradigm shift? Like it's encouraged now within some companies to speak up and be creative?
I would say it is. It's a paradigm shift we're seeing. And I would say for those companies that aren't openly and warmly welcoming those creative thoughts and those questions, they're going to be in a world of hurt. And very, very soon is my prediction. You know, not straight across the board, but a lot of them by and large.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I really believe that not only I believe, but I see this as ever apparent that if you're not, you know, asking your employees, by and large, if you're a company, you're not asking your employees, and by and large, your fresh employees, your new talent, what they're seeing, what they're observing, what they want, they are the future generation of your company, whether you want to believe it or not. So you better listen to them, right? And even if your profit might not be impacted by them, you know, maybe this quarter, next quarter, or this year, they're the ones that are going to be steering the ship for the long haul. So having their involvement is part of that process. I love the word, and I use this a lot, you know, with a lot of my clients, co-creation. They must be true co-creators of these plans, of these strategies that are going on and the implementation behind them.
It makes sense. So how do you go about, you do business coaching. So you may coach, it sounds like you may coach a leader within an organization, but you also will coach the organizations. Is that correct?
Correct. Right.
Yeah.
So there's sort of three areas that I, you know, work on with individuals and corporations, and it's actually you know, it's intentional, right? You have your organizations that, hey, you know what, we've got a couple burning topics, right? Come in, you know, we want you to train on this key imperative that we have going on within our organization. For example, one common one I have is, you know, how to extend our sales force through channel ecosystems or strategic partnerships, right? I've done that training. I've done a training, by the way, on entrepreneurship alone, right? So come in, you know, an hour, couple hours, maybe all the way up to a day, which is more of like a workshop format, and work with us train our sales force, give us a kick in the ass, right? You
know, I see that language on your website.
Give us a kick in the ass, a little motivation, but also the substance behind the motivation. And I want to make sure and call that out, because I know there's a lot of, unfortunately, you know, there are some people out there in this industry that there's the lack of substance behind the content, you know? So the substance to back it up and get us going, right? Give us something that's going to inspire our sales force or our team of individuals for the next quarter or two, right? And then as I do these talks, these trainings and these workshops, you know, I often find that there's some high potential individuals, you know, historically they may say, hey, we want to fast track this individual, right? Or individuals, they're top performers, or they have their high potential individuals within that organization that with a little bit more seasoning, you know, a little bit more sharpening of that saw, that they're just going to be rock stars for years to come.
Right? Yeah, that, and
so
just,
I that's work hand in hand with those individuals.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've done with a lot of my C-suite high players, you know, getting those emerging individuals, people that were senior managers going into more partner principal type of equity type play positions, you know what I mean? And making that transition. So good, man, you're spot on there onto that. Just wanted to interrupt you.
I love that.
Yeah, no worries.
Carry on, bro. Doing good.
It must feel very rewarding for both of you, for Justin and Bruce, for knowing that the people that you're working with make a big impact numbers-wise because of their role within the company.
Absolutely. I mean, the role within the company, I mean, and you know, it's funny, like just this week alone, you know, I'm meeting with, I think two or three different C-level executives, you know, and this is an absolute burning imperative for them, right? They want this. This is how, again, out of necessity, they're asking for it, right? So it's like the old adage, you know, you can only sell, you know, or share, you know, what the market acceptance will bear. Right. Mm-hmm. And the market acceptance is definitely weighing in favor of some millennial. I love the word underscore, as you used it earlier, Bruce, you know, underscores within organizations today. So, you know, working with those individuals is definitely of importance. And then, you know, the third facet, you know, to your question earlier, Bruce, is okay, all the way up. So you've got your, you know, come in and train us and work with us and give us that shot in the arm or that kick in the ass, if you will. You're working with our top performing individuals. And then the third is kind of that executive advisor role that I mentioned, right? Where you're working within all levels of the organization, but you're truly working at that top level around strategy, how you're implementing new technology, right? And how you're leveraging technology within your organization, for example. What's your mission, vision, and strategy behind, you know, your key imperatives? And this is more in a consultative capacity, right? You're challenged with large pain points, and you're trying to set up a major overarching game plan that's going to put this company in position to just dominate in the market for the next 12 to 24 months. So those are the three areas in which I'm helping both individuals and companies today. It's absolutely, you know, exhilarating to be a part of this. And just to think that it was something that's, you know, was born out of what I would call a personal diary of such that turned into an actual book.
It's amazing.
It's actually kind of fun.
So how did that happen when you say it was born out of the book, your personal diary / book? How did the book come about? And then how did this career come about?
Yeah, I mean, I think the book, like I mentioned, was my personal journey. And it was my way of moving forward. You know, some people talk it out or whatnot. I was writing, and I was writing feverishly, both because I was reading like crazy, you know, absorbing all this different information with a large emphasis on personal development. And it was my way of taking what I was absorbing and learning and putting it back onto paper and into application-based principles that not only I could apply, but I actually believe that other people could apply. Mm-hmm. And it turns out they could, you know, like I said, this coaching, I attribute it to the constant never ending desire to help people. You know, yeah. There's trainers, for example, out there today. Trainers are coaches, right? Fitness trainers are coaches, right? Even consultants are coaches of such. I think it's just a term, right? And maybe this term, by the way, changes, or this title or position changes over the years. But right now you're seeing a lot of backing from it, because by and large, if you're a Los Angeles Lakers, when you were, you know, Kobe Bryant, you know, who was the one person that maybe knew better than Kobe did? He maybe couldn't play better, but he knew better, right? Because he could see the whole court at the same time. Well, Phil Jackson, right? Back in their heyday, or you could say Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan, you know, just to make those two parallels. So the coaches, albeit may not be, in some cases, an active player, but they have that ability to see the whole playing field within the business and life landscape. And so I think, mm-hmm. you know, that's why we're going to see an emergence of coaches and in the coaching industry, the personal development industry, and kind of just the consulting capacity for several years to come.
Well, that's a great example, Justin, because when Kobe's in there playing, he can't see the whole picture. So it's a different perspective from someone that knows the game and knows the strategy, and then also is really focused on Kobe being his best and using all of his skills and his talents. That's a great example of coaching.
Absolutely. You know, we learned something great in, you know, service yesterday. You know, I'm a bit of a believer as well. And we learned, you know, that leaders, you know, and people do what you do, not what you say. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like any great thing out there. You know, you can say everything. And just like even on this radio show, that's why I would encourage anyone to align themselves with a coach, a consultant, a counselor, whoever that person might be, but where you're actively being a co-creator of your new game plan, your new recipe for success, and you're putting that practice into play, right? And you're not just talking about it. You know, the talk about it, people will say is, those are the wannapreneurs, I jokingly say, right?
I love it, man. You know, remember that video I told you about the guy who has this YouTube video? Like, hey, everybody, I did my meditation and I had some good yogurt this morning. Hey, win the day, okay? And they don't do anything.
I did check that out, and it's funny because in some respects it's like the content, it's what I said earlier, the content is there, but where's the application to back it up? You know, I say similarly, you know, why I chose some of the degree paths I have chosen over the years is because I wanted application-based learning, right? And if you look at studies have shown time and time again, people who just, you know, because there's all different kinds of learners, for example, there's your kinesthetic, learners, you know, there's your auditory learners, there's those that, you know, learn through reading, and then there's those that learn through applying, you know, applications and by doing, right? And time again, history has shown that those that put principles into action are 10 times more successful in those applications than those that just hear it or read it, right? Learning through doing, right? And you see a lot of universities, for example, overseas in Europe that have totally rewrote their curriculums based on a lot of these principles and research studies.
Yeah, I would add, it has to be meaningful action, just not action. Because you know, a lot of people overestimate their action, I would say, you know, meaningful action. But yeah, absolutely, you know, you're spot on, and that's what we do as coaches. You know, is holding a little bit of that, holding folks accountable for their own choices, and then pivoting right as needed, should the result not be you know, coming, or there's some sort of a stall or whatever. So really good points.
That's right. And, you know, the other thing we do that's important to note, Bruce, is, you know, another metaphor example I like to share is I say, you know, as a coach, I am your Sherpa, right? A lot of people tend to get that, right? Your goal is to climb Mount Everest, maybe not literally, but figuratively, right? And there's a lot of sites and there's a lot of stops right along the way. You've got to set up camp here and you've got to learn to, for example, create proper business strategies and goals, right? That's maybe your first campsite. And then, you know, your next campsite is, hey, how do I create effective events, right? Where I can get tribes together and behind a meaning or behind a cause, right? That's maybe your next campsite. So you're creating all these campsites, you know, along the way. But I'm just your guide. I'm just your Sherpa. I'll maybe carry some of your baggage, you know, along the way, you know, for you or with you, right? But I'm just your tour guide. And ultimately, as coaches, we're not doing the work for them. We're not playing the game. Going back to the Kobe example, we're not playing the game for people. But we are absolutely pointing out the destinations and the milestones along the way. We're helping provide them with toolkits and examples of ways to overcome, you know, challenges and pitfalls. And we're their tour guide, right? That's it. But it's ultimately up to them to actually enact the change, actually apply the principles.
Absolutely. And again, that's all self-guided and much self-generated from our clients. But just walking them through, whether it be a tour guide, Sherpa, you know, just with a little bit of teeth.
Totally. But we can't get in there and play the game for them. And so, but they need someone to partner with them. They need someone on the sidelines to encourage them, hold them accountable, and give them that opportunity to push forward and find new ways to accomplish what they want to accomplish.
That's right. A lot of the best, fitness trainers, you know, you go back to even your partner in life, right? You know, the equally go partner in life is all about accountability, is all about mutual accountability and creating a common, you know, shared set of values and goals for your life, right? Or for your fitness or for your, you know, business, for example, right? That's where all this stuff is born.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And so, you know, my unique, you know, one of the things that gets me clients is being more in a recovery position where there's been a fault or a stumble, you know what I mean? And then the company motivated to put in some effort and put in some resources behind this male or female, you know.
Some structure, yeah.
To get them to a better place. Now, should they not get there, they could very well be cut or cut from assignments and that you know, and then on some of these that are partnerships where there's equity units and money, you know, that can translate to hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in salary loss due to lack of performance for either a performance issue or even a conduct issue that was a close tangent to their workspace. So, it's a really interesting thing. And man, Justin, sounds like, you know, for it's kind of interesting because I see you as you actually are probably a little bit older than what I think. You know what I mean? Time has marched on since I remember you coming out of school. So I'm thinking, man, this guy sounds like he knows a lot about business. And I thought, wait a minute, man, this guy's now that I'm doing the math, he's got to be a little bit older than I thought. But yeah, you really do sound. Because I'm in denial. The psychology.
I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, Bruce.
No, it's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
I really like how you're really on point with some of those core concepts, particularly in the business world. And that goes a long way. And you have to have that. You know what I mean? So I really like really, you know, you have some really core pieces to your background that I think are going to fit real well. Real quick, we got about 3.5 minutes left to the hard stop, but tell us a little bit about your coaching practice now, moving forward. What kind of things differentiate you in the space from the other coaches and kind of talk about that for a few minutes.
Yeah, sure. So I think, and again, thank you for having me on here today. I just think it's been really fun and exciting and good, obviously, reconnecting with you, Bruce. What I'm up to today, as I mentioned, I'm going on a bit of a speaking tour, right? And I'm going around from, universities and organizations to corporations and teams. And, I'm getting in front of anyone and everyone, so if you are in that position, right, and I talk a little bit about it on my website, where, you're not sure what you need, but you need some type of additional, kick in the ass, talk to me, reach out, right? I customize each and every one of my keynote speaking engagements, per the company, per the group of individuals I work with, to make sure that the content's on point. Because I'll be honest, I've been a part of a lot of presentations out there in my lifetime that you can tell it's a stock presentation. Now, I have a lot of core ingredients that are going to be there, but I'm going to customize it and actually truly co-create it with you to make sure it's on point for you, for your organization, right? So I've got a lot of those lined up over the next couple of months. I'm working with several individuals, like these high performing, high potential individuals that are, high flyers, or going to, have the potential to be high flyers in their organizations. And I'm also actively taking on a couple, not too many, but a couple select clients that I'll be working with at more of that executive advisor role to help shift things for them in a very large way at the corporate level, right? So, I got a lot going on. I'm really excited about just this space and kind of the trends we're seeing, right now in society, and mostly excited to serve. I consider myself a service-based leader, right? Someone that tries to, as my tagline says, live life from the inside out, in a truly purpose-driven way. So I'm excited about what the future holds.
Well, you're very inspiring.
I like that, man. You're playing hard to get those select. I'm seeing a select few people, man. I like that, man. I'm feeling that.
I love it.
that's some good language there, But no, seriously. And man, it sounds like a really good, diverse plate. I miss public speaking, Justin. I did a lot of that back in the day. Actually, I conference, Jenny and I did a conference, but it seems like somewhere, right? Didn't we talk about? Oh, we talked about coaching.
February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, but and I kind of miss that. So I think that's, you have a well-rounded situation there. So tell our listeners how they can reach you. If you have a website, cell phone, email, Twitter, Instagram, how can what are the contact points that our folks can reach you?
Sure. So like all my millennial brethren, I'm definitely out on social media, so I have a Facebook page. I do have an Instagram, business account, right? Obviously, LinkedIn, I would say from a social media perspective, is absolutely the best way to get a hold of me. I think it also give you, especially if you're an organizational leader, a C-level executive or you're leading some team within your organization, it'll give you an appreciation for my background, which to me really makes me unique. Right, serving in both the Fortune 50 space and also kind of that mid-market enterprise space as a entrepreneur and corporate employee, I really bring a lot of fresh, unique, diverse experience to bear. And so LinkedIn's a great way to get a perspective on that. And then last but certainly not least, probably most importantly, my website, nimmergood.com. So it's N as in Nancy, I, M as in Mary, ergood.com. So like it sounds, but somehow people always manage to botch it up. I'm not sure if it's intentional or not, but my website is a great resource for you as well.
It looks great too, your website. I love it.
Really, really good and good. Sense of who you are and what you look like and your personal presence on the website. So you did a masterful job there with the different photos and different sections. So really good. So, well, folks, there it is. Another great show here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Thanks for listening live. If you're listening, streaming live. If not, fear not, because moments from now, we'll have a dedicated player for you. It'll be archived on the LA Talk Radio site. We have our own subpage. The Concierge Coaches Show has our own page on LA Talk Radio with all of our shows in the past, that are cataloged. And also, if you want, you can listen to all our shows on iTunes. And we've made arrangements, so we've paid for it. So you can just listen to all our shows for free. And each show has a little show summary on who was in there and who we were visiting with that week and what we were talking about on the show. And if you're interested in contacting me, I'm at conciergecoach.net. I'm at bcameron2 on Instagram. And Jenny, how can folks get a hold of you?
Well, my company is J-Hub Consulting, and you can find me at jhubconsulting.com. And that's J-H-U-B. And Facebook as well, under Jenny Hubby or J-Hub Consulting.
All right, then. Well, folks, have a great and blessed 4th of July week, wherever you may be. And come visit with us next week, as we'll have another exciting guest here on the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Have a great week, and we'll see y'all next time.
Bye, everyone. Bye, Bruce.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.